Jude chapter number 1. You could turn to chapter number 2, but you won't find it. Jude chapter number 1. I didn't have time this week to dedicate like I wanted to the study of Revelation chapter 21, so I'm not going there tonight. And I'm just going to share a thought or two with us tonight. We'll go to the house. Amen. God's been good. God's blessed and been good to us, and I appreciate the good blessings of the Lord. Amen. Just because God's good, that doesn't mean the devil don't fight. It doesn't mean that he's not in the business of destroying and discouraging. He's real good at that kind of stuff. We don't want to give him any credit or encourage him to do any worse than what he's already doing. But I must say tonight, we need to be encouraged in the Word of God. Amen? And we must keep our heads up, keep our eyes open, to be alert. Scripture teaches us to be sober, be vigilant. That means sober means to be alert, to be on guard, be vigilant, be paying attention, be aware. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's a devouring people left and right. And I mean, it's amazing that the stories that I hear, the pastors that I talk to. I talked to a pastor today for probably a couple hours. And he was telling me some things going on in his church. And he said, brother, he said, I don't understand. He said, I've never seen the likes of stuff going on in the church house. And it's not that people was being wicked or nothing like that. People just quitting on God. They just quit doing stuff in the church, bringing stuff to them. Said, look, I ain't doing this no more. I quit. Sunday school teachers quitting and treasurers quitting and just the other stuff that's going on. People just quitting on God. And he said, I can't understand that. And I understand it. It's the day we're living in. Amen. And the devil turns the heat up when people get so discouraged and so depressed, and somebody can say something and listen, gets you upset, gets your mind off of serving the Lord, and gets your mind off the right thing, gets your mind on the wrong thing. Somebody made a comment to one of his members. Let me take that back. It wasn't a member, just someone that had come by. It was a member of another church, but had talent, had good talent, played the piano. He let him play during the offering or something like that. But everybody was bragging on that individual, talking about how a great job they did. Which, that's fine. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Somebody does a good job, you don't tell them they did a good job. Amen. Pat them on the back. It's like these girls singing. Tell them they did a good job. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But somebody got jealous because they thought they played better than they could. And it wasn't even a member of the church. And it just started a big uproar. And listen, the devil used anything he can to tear a church apart. Amen. Right. Silly stuff. Jude is just where the Lord directed me tonight. I want to read some verses to you, and hoping to be a help and encouragement to us tonight. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Well, that's a mouthful right there. Amen. That's who we are. We are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ. Called. Amen. Called to salvation. We're preserved in Jesus Christ. We know these things. We've heard this several times before. We've talked about being preserved, and one pastor put it this way. He said, I've been plinked. But the Christian, the born-again believer, has been preserved. Amen. We've been plinked. And until Jesus Christ comes, you can't do nothing about that. Amen. And only when he comes, whenever something's going to take place, and that's whenever we're leaving here. But he says, I'm sanctified, or he's writing, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Verse number 3, the Bible says, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. There's one thing we all have in common, and that's faith. Amen? If we're saved tonight, we have that one thing, and that is faith. Have to have that in order to have salvation. Amen? Our salvation is based on faith, and everybody has that. Here he's saying that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now watch what it says in verse number 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. there's those who are coming in on the scene now and say that it's okay to live loosely. It's okay to drop your standard. It's okay not to have a King James Bible. It's okay to go to church once a week. It's okay to drop your midweek service. I mean, listen, they're coming in and talking about this loose living kind of thing. But God is the same God. He loves us all. Their mentality, every day's going to be a Friday, as Joel Osteen says. And listen, they're crept in unawares, and people are drawn to that stuff, and drawn because it's easy listening. Listen, the Bible says they're denying the grace, turning from the grace of God, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, which is loose living, unbridled, unrestricted sexual lust and practices, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. And we realize that great day of judgment is what we preached about last time, is that great white throne judgment. Amen? That great day of judgment that is going to come. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, verse number 7, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Going in the way of Cain, they rejected the blood atonement. They rejected Jesus Christ. They ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. In other words, they sold out for money. That's what happened to Balaam. Sold out for money. Listen, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Korah disrespected Moses' authority. Moses was the man of God, and they disrespected that. Listen, the scripture says they've gone in the way of Cain. They've gone and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Anytime you go against the man of God and the word of God, you're in trouble. Amen? Anytime you go against the word of God, the man of God, you're in trouble. You're bound for shipwreck. That's as plain and simple as you can put it. And there's some that once served the Lord and once was on the right track, but yet they turned in apostasy and changed their belief. These are spots in your feast of charity, verse number 12. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead, plugged up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. In other words, they're going to die and spend eternity in the everlasting flames. In darkness forever. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration, being because of advantage." Then he goes here and he changes his speech. He's talking about those that's turned from God, those that's ungodly, those rejected God, and those that's trying to seduce others into believing what they believe and going away from God. But he begins to speak to the church, or to the saints, or to the beloved. Notice he says in verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some have compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege, Lord, to be in your house. I'll thank you for the precious word of God. And I pray, God, you'd help me, Lord, tonight say what needs to be said to encourage our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your will away in everything that's said here tonight. Thank you for allowing us to be here. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to have the house, be at the house of God with the lights on, Lord, tonight, that the community, whether they're turning to drugs in the wrong way, going the wrong direction, and turning to other things, Lord, I pray they can see the lights on at the house of God to realize, Father, there is hope. And I pray, God, you'd help us to reach our community, help us to reach our Jerusalem. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. And amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, a very familiar passage of Scripture, I know we've read it, we've preached from this before, we've heard it, but there's some things that Jude is writing, and he's dealing with the filthiness of our day, the destruction of our day, the liars of our day, those that say it's okay to do it this way when God says it's not, amen, those that promote that kind of stuff, promote wicked living, living one way at church, living another way at home. There's some that's even behind the pulpits, that's living one way, amen, and preaching another way. There's some that's dropped the ball on their standard. I know one preacher I was talking with just recently was telling me about some men that's dropped the ball on their standards. Double married men that doesn't bother them, let them in the pulpit. They'll let them preach. They'll let anybody preach that says they're a preacher. They don't check them. They don't ask them no questions. People just dropping the ball left and right. They're lowering their standard. And I think the biggest problem is, first of all, they want to draw the crowd. They're not interested in the standard. They're not interested in doing it God's way. They're interested in the crowd. They got a bigger crowd, they have a bigger offering. They got a bigger offering, they get a bigger paycheck. Right. Yep. Amen. Here, the Bible is pretty simple. It's pretty plain when we deal with these things. But it's dealing. I'm not going to deal with so much of the wickedness and ungodliness and all that. We know that's there. Amen. We're not ignorant of that. We know that's there. We know that they were living in it. It's a wicked day. It's an ungodly day. And people are not seeking righteousness, amen. They're seeking wickedness. If you just go into Walmart or go downtown somewhere, you can tell that people are not seeking the Lord. There's none that seeketh righteousness. They're seeking wickedness. It's an easier life to live. It's easier to go with everybody else than it is to go upstream, amen. And so that's what everybody's after. But he's dealing with here in the latter part of this, he's dealing with the beloved. And tonight I just want to be an encouragement to us. There's some things that you and I can do, even in this wicked day that we're living in. Some things that we can do, there's things we should do. First of all, look at verse 17. What we should do, what we can do, is in verse number 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which was spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing we can do tonight is remember the precious word of God. Amen. Amen. I don't have a whole lot to stand on tonight. I've got the word of God. Amen. In order to remember the word of God and remember that God gave us his word, he gave us his son. Hallelujah. We shout the victory over that, but he gave us his word, and his word's preserved forever. Amen? And we have the precious word of God, and the scriptures tells us that these apostates will come in the last day. They're going to come. And so as we look at these days that we're living in, we realize that Jesus is coming sooner than we think. Amen? And don't be oblivious to that. Don't fall prey to the lies of the devil and those that's workers of the devil. Amen? Just understand that Jesus is coming soon because there's so many turning to ungodliness. And they're leaving righteousness and the holiness of God to live a life of pleasure and pleasure seeking. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a little vacation. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Amen? But whenever you forsake God and the things of God for the pleasures of the world, I believe the scripture says that their pleasures are just for a little season. Amen? So we look at this tonight, and one of the things that we can do and one of the things we should do is remember the precious word of God. Remember that the scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. We're to remember that tonight And remember, thank God the word saved according to the scripture. I know that I'm saved because I remember the precious word of God. I know what it says. I know that I'm saved, but also I've got a responsibility to tell somebody else how they can be saved. Amen. Remember the scriptures, not just the good things, but remember the commands that we're to go out to all the world and preach the gospel. We're to go tell the world and share the good news of the gospel so they can be saved. Remember the scriptures. Number two, we can ready ourselves. Look with me. The Bible says, verse number 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." We can ready yourself. How do you ready yourself for this world, for this life that we're living? How do you do that? Remember the scriptures. Amen. Remember the word of God. Just stay faithful. Amen. To the word of God. Stay faithful to God. Remember what God said in his word. And you prepare yourself. You build up, as the scripture says, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. The closer you are to God, the holier you are. You know that? Amen. Closer you are to him, the holier you are. Because the closer you get to him, you're on holy ground. Amen. A believer must never stand still spiritually. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. They must always be a growing individual. Amen. A healthy person is a growing person. If you're healthy, it's easier to fight off the attacks. Here, Jude is giving her the warning of all these that's coming. And they're bringing in their false doctrine, their false teaching, and their lies, and they're turning from God, and they're bringing all this ungodliness and all this wickedness. And he's warning of all that. He said, their judgment day is coming. There will be a day when they'll be judged for their wickedness, and God's going to do that. He's going to execute judgment upon all of them. But they're still here, and they're still trying to get us to turn from what we know to be right. And he, listen, those that begin to attack us and come at us, we can fight them off if we're spiritually healthy. Talked to another man of God today, and he was telling me about how he's preparing to preach some messages concerning the mind. And he said, man, I'm telling you, he said, the scripture talks about in Romans to be transformed, that be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he said, I've been teaching on that in Sunday school, and he said, God's just loaded me up and giving me some things on the mind. The mind is a very powerful thing. And the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind was that? It was a mind that wanted to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Amen. Glory and honor to God, our Savior. As he says in verse number 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. So the spiritual mind, who is spiritually healthy, wants to bring glory and honor to God in everything that we do. And remembering the scriptures and readying ourselves and being prepared for this life and being prepared for tomorrow. You may have made it through the day just fine. May not have had no temptations to fight off today, but tomorrow's another day. Amen. And the devil knows that. And you might have won the battle today, but there's a battle to fight tomorrow also. You better ready yourself. Make sure that we're ready to fight this thing called the flesh, first of all, and then the world. The world tries to get us to conform to their way. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind, having a spiritual mind. If we're spiritually healthy, we can fight off the attacks. Listen, if we're spiritually healthy, we can fight off the attacks of the devil and his workers, as well as the flesh and the world. And so we need to ready ourselves, prepare ourselves, building up our most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, put off everything else that's hindering your prayers to make things right and giving it everything you got in your prayer life. Amen. To pray. If you're mad at your spouse, there's a problem in your prayer life. Amen. I know that's not popular preaching in our day, but that's the Bible. If your spouse is and your spouse have something between each other, and you can't even look at each other, you're mad at one another, there's something wrong in your prayer life. Your prayers won't get through. Amen. That's Bible. Listen, that's scripture. If the husband is mad at the wife mad at the husband, whatever. If the children are mad at mom and daddy, their prayers are hindered. If you're mad at your children, your prayers are hindered. If you're mad at your brother and sister in Christ, your prayers are hindered. Amen. If the brother comes to the altar, amen, bring his gift to the altar, and yet he has aught with his brother, what does the Bible say? Go talk to your brother, settle the aught first. Then come bring your gift to the altar. So we have to make sure that there's everything is right between us and our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also within our spouse and in our home and our family. If our home's in an uproar, our church is not going to be any better than what our homes are. Amen? And so we got to understand this thing, building up our most holy faith. We have faith because we're saved by the grace of God. We believe that Jesus saved us from our sins. Amen. We all have faith in salvation, but he's talking about building up your most holy faith. How do you do that? That's by practicing your faith. How do you practice that? Remember the scripture. Study the word of God. Ready yourself. Pray. Read your Bible. Amen. And understand that God says in his word that we're to be holy and righteous in this ungodly, wicked, cruel, amen, world. So we need to ready ourselves. Be prepared for tomorrow. Don't go out face tomorrow unprepared. Put on the whole armor of God. We're to do that every single day of our life. Amen. Put on the whole armor and make sure that we're ready to fight the battle, because every day is a battle. Remember the scriptures, ready yourself. Then verse number 21, the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? That simply means, this is a nice another little R. I've got about seven R's here I'm using tonight. Remember the scripture, ready yourself. And number three, we remain. What does that mean? That means remain focused. So many people are losing their focus. They get their eyes on people. The scripture teaches us to look unto Jesus. Amen. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to look at him and not look at people. I've talked to several pastors, as I said, and in the conversation, they tell me things that's going on in their church. And the biggest problem that we all are seeing is people looking at people. And it gets them all focused. They lose their focus and they're following this one, and they're following that one. And this one's going to go over here and do that. Well, that looks good, so we're going to go over yonder and do this. And the next thing you know, they're in a mess because they begin to look at people. And the scripture teaches us to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep your focus on him. Amen. If he wants you to resign your position, then you honor and obey him. Amen. If he doesn't want you to do that, then you honor and obey him. Amen. Don't do something because somebody else is doing it. Don't follow the crowd. Amen. Keep your focus. Remain focused. Keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, don't worry about what somebody else is doing.
Right.
Amen. Good preaching tonight, preacher. Amen. Thank you. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. The Bible says keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen? Amen. I've got to answer for myself. You've got to answer for yourself. So you keep yourselves, as the scripture says, in the love of God. Remain focused on what God wants you to do. Amen. Then we have the fourth thing is to restore. There's a lot for us to do. Amen. Remember the scripture, ready ourselves and remain focused. That's all for us to do as the born-again believer, just within ourselves. You know, the biggest problem I believe that people have in their prayer time is they don't pray for themselves. I talked to a gentleman just the other week ago, or I guess probably a few months ago, and he told me, he said, preacher, I don't ever pray for myself. I said, son, you got a problem. Boy, you need prayer before you ever pray for anybody else. Amen. And you need to make sure that your heart's right with God and things is right in your life. He said, well, I believe it is. I said, well, have you talked to God about it? Not what you think, what he says about it. Amen. Now listen, we need to pray for ourselves and spend some time dealing with ourselves, with our wickedness and our ungodliness and the sins that we've committed. We need to deal with that first before we try to pray for somebody else.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, we all do that. You better remember the scripture. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Amen. We sin with our attitude. We sin with our actions. Might not say it, but the way you act sometimes. Amen. Right. It's just as much a sin. The scripture teaches us a man thought it is just as guilty as doing it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's that. I know that's not popular neither, but it's just the way it is. It's Bible. So we need to work on ourselves. Remember the scriptures, ready ourselves, remain focused. And then we need to, after that, we need to step out a little bit and working on that holy faith of ours and praying in the Holy Ghost. And then we need to restore those that have been hurt. The restoration business is a hard, hard business. I don't know if you've ever restored anything or not. I've restored a few things. I'm working on some restoration projects in the shop. I've got an old 69 Firebird. Some of you have been down there, you've seen that old Firebird. It's a rust bucket. That's, I'm telling you, it's a project. It's not the worst I've ever seen. It's not the worst I've ever worked on, but it's a project. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of money. A whole lot of work has to go into that thing to get it to where it needs to be. And it'll never be brand new like it was, but you can make it look almost like it used to. Amen. But a whole lot of work has to go to the restoration when you restore something. I've got some old Hoosier cabinets at the house and I want to restore them, but it just takes so long. I don't have time to do that. And I'd love to have one completely restored. I like those things. Old flour bean cabinets, old grandma's and grandpa just to crank that thing, get their biscuit flour. I love those things. I've got two of them, but neither one of them work. They look good, but anyway. But they need to be restored. And that restoration takes time. Time doesn't last. And then whenever we're talking about restoring somebody in the faith, it takes time. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of prayer. And you yourself have to keep your focus that you don't lose that and begin to look at what they're looking at. Because it'll cause you to go astray. It gets you discouraged. Now, listen, we're to remember the scriptures and ready ourselves and remain focused and restore those that have been hurt. So many people have been hurt in church. You go around and knock on some doors and talk to folks, invite them to church. I guarantee you, you'll be surprised when one says, I used to. Well, they're all over random. I've knocked on a many doors and they said, I used to. Invited them to come to the church. Some of them did. Some of them didn't. Most of them didn't. But they were used to. It's our responsibility to reach those used to's and to restore them. And some have compassion, make a difference. Amen. We need to make a difference in our day. I'm going to hurry up. We need to also remember the scripture says in Psalm verse 23, and others save with fear, pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We need to rescue the perishing. Amen. Not only do we need to restore those that have been hurt, but we need to rescue the perishing. We need to rescue those that are listening or dying and on the way to hell. We need to tell them and give them the good news of the gospel. And it's nothing wrong with going out on visitation, knocking on doors. It's a scary thing in our day because many people are gun happy and shooting happy. People are taking guns to school and all kinds of crazy other stuff. I understand that. But listen, you go in the power and the grace of God in your most holy faith, prayed up, ready to go. Amen. And God protects you.
Amen.
God will watch over you. God will direct your path. And don't be stupid. If the sign says, beware dog, beware dog. If the man comes to the door with a gun, get out of there. How many jump in your car and run? Don't try to talk you down. Get out of there. If, you know, somebody's shooting their wife or cutting up somebody in the backyard, don't go back there and try to interrupt. Just leave. You know, it's just a common sense thing. Amen. But I understand a lot of people don't want to go because they're scared of what they're going to face. But that still doesn't stop us from winning the loss. Amen. That's our responsibility. We're to rescue the perishing. They're dying in their sins and they're going to hell. And we need to invite them to the house of God so they can hear the word of God so they themselves can be saved. That's our responsibility. As a church, it's not our responsibility just to sit here and warm a church pew. We're to be witnessing and inviting others to fill the church house up that the house of God may be full. I know that ain't popular neither, but that's true. That's what we need to do. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We need to work on these things and encourage one another. Listen, remember the word of God. Exhort one another. Ready ourselves and build ourselves up and pray and study the Bible. Amen. Keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep our focus on what God wants us to do and what pleases Him instead of what pleases us. Amen. Restore the lost, amen, or the hurt, and rescue the perishing, those that are lost. And then two more things, I'm almost done, just hang in there. We need to rest. Notice verse 24, now to him that is able to keep you from fall. Remember the scriptures we read the other weekend, he that does these things shall not fall. He's able to keep us from falling. Presents you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Because you're His. You need to rest in Him. Rest in His promises. You know He's able to keep you. He's able to keep you saved, amen. Something you can't do yourself. God's able to do that. Keeps us saved. Amen. He presents us. Last but not least, you should rejoice. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power forever, both now and ever. Amen. But remember the scripture, ready ourselves, remain focused, restore the lost and the hurt, restore the hurt, rescue the lost, rest in God's promises and rejoice forevermore. Well, we got a lot to be happy about, amen? Got a lot to be excited about. We had a good spiritual church on Sunday, did we not?
Amen.
It was a good spiritual church Sunday. I had a good liberty to preach. Had a good crowd. And it would be like that all the time. You want to come in rejoicing, thanking the Lord that we made it through the week, good start a new week. The devil didn't overtake us, hallelujah. We didn't slip and fall in a fault. Well, we got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
A lot to rejoice about. Keep your eyes off of people and keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. And rejoice forevermore. Restore those that's been hurt or drawn away by false doctrine and apostates. They're out there. They're drawing people away. We need to restore them. Listen and pray for them. Amen. Hope this is a help to you tonight. It's not real deep. It's kind of simple stuff. Every once in a while, I need to stir up that remembrance in you. Amen. You're saved by the grace of God. You're a child of God. And listen, there's a lot of false teaching, a lot of false pastors and preachers and doctrine and all kinds of false teachings going on in our day. And we will be thankful that you got a man of God that'll preach the truth. Amen. We'll be thankful you've got a church that stands on truth.
Amen.
I was talking to a preacher today, and he told me about a church not far from him. He said they've been 2 years without a pastor. I said, brother, why in the world have they been 2 years without a pastor? He said, you not believe. He said they called and talked to him and said, it's unreal the stand that men are taking against nothing. They don't stand for anything. Half of them have been double married. Some of them don't have any standards at all, just come dressed however. They don't care. So they don't want nobody. They want a man with standards, and it's hard to find in our day. And that's sad, amen? Sad. But we'll be thankful for what God's blessed us with, amen? Thank God we have a church that stands on truth and right, preaches it, amen, straight. Amen. So Jesus calls me home, amen. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Focus on the Lord and what He has for us to do. I know sometimes we need to be busy about the Father's business, inviting others and encouraging others to come. Don't give up, amen? Don't give up. God's got a plan.
Amen.
Just remember the scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege.